The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
You're listening to
Wrestling to the Max.
Alert, alert, clear all channels.
This is an exclusive.
How you like that?
Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
Hello, and welcome to a special Wrestling to the Max Extra for the New Japan G1 Climax 27. Of course, that starts on Monday morning for everybody here in the United States. Probably is Sunday night for everybody else and for the Pacific part of the United States, because it starts at 11 a.m. But I'm here with Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo!
And we're going to try our best to, I guess, give predictions for people's points in the blocks and how they're going to do. Of course, this is all going to get wiped out by Ghetto, who's going to just demoralize us all in about, like, you know, 3 or 4 days. So.
If that. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, it could all just go away on the first night. You think you got it settled. And I think after last year, it seems like the first night may not be the end, because I think people are going to be able to predict those upsets. But they make sense, I think, going towards what you want at the end. So, I mean, I know we've talked about it on the regular shows, but perhaps this is like first time somebody listening or whatever. What is your general thought on like the tournament this year, like the way the blocks look and all that?
I mean, Block A is just a minefield of tough choices of who you think is going to come out of that. You have people who are usually booked strong in tournaments like this, like Fale and Makabe in Block A. And then you have the big stars, Tanahashi, Naito, Nagata. This is the last tournament. That's a wrench in the plans. Ibushi, who's coming back into the fold, seemingly. Who you have to think is going to get booked well. And then Goto and Ishii, who are always, you know, stars in these things too. And then Yoshihashi, Zack Sabre Jr., more wrenches because they're people that are getting pushed, right? So, I mean, it's just a minefield of agonizing choices if you're trying to predict this thing. And Block B, I would say, is a little bit easier, but no less difficult. You just have a lot of pretty easy separation, I think, between stars, right? Because, I mean, obviously, Block B has Okada and Omega, which is going to take place on the last Block B night, which is going to be phenomenal out there at Ryugoku. And then you have Elgin, Evil, Suzuki, Sonata. A lot of people who are either pushed pretty well, getting pushed, are stars, whatever you want to say. And then some, I don't want to say throwaway, but definitely people who you know are going to be on the lower end, like a Yano, like a Tama Tonga, like a Juice Robinson.
Well, you know? Yano always throws branches because he at least gets like 8 points or something every tournament. So you got to sit there and try to predict the when's he going to do his little special roll up on somebody and cost you 2 points. That, you know, of course. So we're The Voices of Wrestling people are wonderful, and they do this every year, this pick'em that also agonizes you as you're trying to decide who gets what points on what day and everything else. They also provide a nice little cheat sheet in form of a Google sheet that lets you just go through, and it automatically counts the points for you so that you can tell who's got what point at what section of the dates you're looking at. So I'm looking at this and I'm going, wow, this is this is a lot to sit here and try to figure out. When you get to the points at the end, you go, okay, this is usually what this person gets. Let's see what happens here. But yeah, so you know, it's a difficult thing to figure out in one of these two, with the Block B having so many. It's hard to figure out who the heck you would have Okada lose to have title shots, mm-hmm. you know, leading up to Wrestle Kingdom and all that. That's another thing that was bothering me in Block B. Block A, like, you know, Yuji Nagata, he announces the last tournament, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
He's treated each one of these differently. You know, with Liger, he did differently than Tenzan. But it's like, there's so much power in Block A,
right?
And Kota Ibushi is such a, like, you don't know what, you know, there's no rumors going around about whether he's gonna stick around past this. There's nothing being said about this at all. Like, he's mm-hmm. just here, right? And I think obviously, you know, Shibata having the injury probably helped him maybe make the decision that, all right, I'm gonna just do this. New Japan really needs me. And you know, also the fact that Tiger Mask W has now ended. As far mm-hmm. as we know, it was meant to be 3 seasons long. I haven't heard anything about if they're going to do another season or they're going to do another series or whatever. So now bringing back Kota Ibushi as Ibushi makes sense, because you don't need Tiger Mask W around anymore. Like, you know, and Zack Sabre Jr. being here, he's obviously shown wrestling prowess and being a Suzuki-gun. The only Suzuki-gun guy that's here other than Suzuki. So, you know, you have to imagine what he's doing here. How many points is he going to get? It's just Block A is just so hard that I almost feel like Nagata's going to get another Liger where he doesn't win at all mm-hmm. until the end, because there's so many guys that you're going. Now there's guys like Goto who have been around a long time, Ishii, Makabe, you know, even a Yoshihashi, where he could beat them, and it's no big deal, right? But it's like, if this is his last one, you can kind of see why Ghetto doesn't want to do the whole let's have the old guy possibly be around till the end, because so many guys that he shouldn't beat at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what do you think? Do you think he's going to just lose to everybody, or is he going to be in the middle of the pack, or...
I have him doing the Liger, essentially. And while I don't know if his win will matter so much at the end, just because... for those who haven't looked at the match listing so far, Nagata has Bad Luck Fale on the last night of Block A. That's the only win I have him getting to sort of knock Fale out of the running completely. And Fale is always tough to call on this, too, because there are times where they feel like they need him to look really strong, and there are times where they feel like it's okay for him to lose. And I always tend to tread on the side of caution with Fale, too. So I have him knocking him out on the last night, and that's his only win that I gave him.
That's what I did, too. Mm-hmm. And let's to be transparent with people, me and Paul and I did not talk about anything involving this, our predictions or anything like that before right. we started. So both of us, if we agree on something, this is the first time we're both hearing about it. Nagata, for me, I think the same thing. It's just, there's so many guys, like,
yeah.
you know, Ibushi being are they going to want him to do well? Or are they going to do mm-hmm. the whole, oh, he gets 8 points again, and that's all he's doing? Is Ishii going to do his normal 8-point thing, or is he going to be, because I have, you know, thinking that maybe this is the year that Ishii finally pulls away and they really get to do something with him. I have him being a factor even until the end. Mm-hmm. And then he gets eliminated to remove him from being able to be in contention. But, you know, how many wins is Zack Sabre Jr. going to get? And also going back to the Fale thing, Fale is in here with one of his favorite guys, and Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Tanahashi happens to hold a championship right now. Do they have Fale beat him to set up that as one of his title wins? Especially since, you know, they go back to back, Sabre Jr. and Fale, the first two nights for Tanahashi, could he be down 0 points when he's looking at down the barrel with two guys that he's already got to defend the title against? So do you see, I mean, Tanahashi last year, they did the whole, oh, he's the old man. This is it for him. He's not going to be in contention. He lost a bunch at the beginning and then he made the comeback. Mm-hmm. What do you see happening for him? Obviously, being a champion, he can't lose too much.
So I'm not at all, like, the way I picked Block A, I'm not super confident at all that it's in any way correct. And I have him losing more often than not. One, because he still has the same story he went into this last year with, right? He's injured, he's beat up, he's getting older. The ace is, you know, or the, you know, the once in a lifetime talent, whatever you want to call him, the former ace, is still trying to prove that he can be the guy. And now he's got a shiny new belt with him that he's won defense in. So it's still a relatively fresh title reign. It's G1 season. It's time to build challengers. And I have him losing more often than not. I have him finishing with 6 points, which might be the lowest for him ever. But there's like we said, Block A, it's so stacked. And there's so many different people here who I think New Japan wants to do really well in the block, that somebody like a Tanahashi might fall through the cracks just to help set up matches down the road, you know? And I think that's completely valid this go around. It's not like you can't have Tanahashi come back and just keep defending and pulling through, especially because the big factor in the G1 is how grueling it is, how absolutely daunting a task of wrestling back to backs or three nights in a row or, you know, whatever. Just how rough this tournament gets on a body, and for older people, it really makes for a fun story, like a Tanahashi.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's difficult. I gave him more points than you did. I have him being in contention till the end, just because he's Tanahashi, and they always seem to, until it's proven otherwise, they need him to be a star and somebody that you're caring about his matches, because a lot of his matches are main events again here. So, whereas Block B, they went the other way around. They went with some of the younger guys, you know, Sonata, Evils, you know, Juices and Suzuki is main eventing some nights or whatever. It's not Okada and Omega every night or whatever. Whereas Block A, they did go with the more traditional. Tanahashi's main eventing, Ibushi's main eventing some nights, you know, whatever.
Naito.
Right, yeah, Naito, of course. And so it makes you think, man, if they're having him do this much still, he's got to factor into the end. I have, you know, like Ibushi beating him to get back the win from a few years ago when, you know, Tanahashi did all that. I think... I also have him losing to Fale there and like Sabre Jr. there on the first night, because they always like to do those big upsets there. And like I have Ibushi beating Naito too, just to set up a loser for Naito, because again, we don't know if Ibushi's going to be around every show until Wrestle Kingdom, or if he's just going to do this and leave again. So, you know, he could win and it doesn't really matter. It doesn't do anything for their picture as far as what they're doing going forward. Or he could have decided, all right, I won't sign, but I'll do the thing where I show up when you need me kind of thing. What do you see for Ibushi this go around? Are you having faith that maybe they're turning the corner? Obviously, it's hard to say he's going to win or maybe even do well, considering, again, he's the only guy that doesn't have any kind of – he has no logo behind his picture when you look at him, when you look at the blocks or anything, meaning that they don't have really a spot for him. Are they going to try to give him a little bit of, hey, we're going to have you do well, maybe you'll give us a more long-term decision, or they go, you know what, we can't trust you, you'll get like 6 points or something?
I think it depends really on where you think Ibushi is right now and where you think New Japan is right now. And looking at New Japan, right, they're down Shibata very probably, you know, very likely forever. He seems to be done. The injuries are too great for him to come back. You've had another string of injuries in the mid card that's taken away, you know, Hanma and Hanma's out. You're missing some people you're counting on to sell these shows, and you're starting to build new talents, and that void that Shibata leaves, I think, is a big deal. And the only other person that they've really pushed from Japan that's native outside of that is Ibushi. And if they have found a way to coax him to commit for even just a year or two, I think this is a great time to pull the trigger. I have him finishing runner-up, just because I don't think, as much as Omega wants it to be him and Ibushi in the finale, which would be awesome, I don't see Omega going back-to-back, and two, I think this is Naito's tournament to win, so much so that I have Naito finishing with 16 and Ibushi finishing with 14.
Yeah, I think Naito's obviously the front runner for Block A. That seems to be everybody's sexy pick. It seems to be the Japanese pick. When I saw a little graphic of a poll that was there, Chris Charlton had, that they were polling, and you know, Ibushi was the other guy that had a lot of percentage here. I have him finishing with 10. I have a lot of guys finishing with 10, and like this block being something that's going to be, it's going to be very tight till the end. Of course, who we have there on the last day, I think, is going to matter. I think Goto will eliminate Ibushi and beat him. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I had Ibushi getting some big wins already. And then, you know, I have, I think it's Sabre Jr. winds up, or no, Ishii winds up beating Zack Sabre Jr., but Tanahashi would wind up losing to Naito, who Naito beat Ishii, and then Naito wins.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have like Goto with 10 points, Fale gets 10 points, but he gets eliminated by Nagata at the end. I have Sabre Jr. winding up with 10 points, and Ishii winds up my runner-up on this one. I think, I don't know, look, he's been great for like 5 years, right? So you could make a case for any of these years, especially last year when he beat Okada, that you're like, okay, this is going to be the year, and I might be totally wrong. He could just do his normal 8 points, and that's what happens, right? Of course, I don't think anybody thought Goto was going to get to the final last year.
Right.
So Ishii is one of these. He's been doing so, so well. He did such a, he's loved in America, which you're trying to push for. He's loved in Japan. He's loved everywhere. Like, I feel like if you give people that tease that he's there at the end, but he loses to this guy named Zack Sabre Jr. that you already don't like, like, I think that just, or even if he wins and he doesn't get through because of something else, like he's lost before, like, I think that just sends a really good message. You can keep believing in him and knowing that he's still a prime guy. Maybe he's not a star, but he is, he's not the star, but he is a star for them. He's somebody they can count on to sell tickets and all that. And when he's been put in prime positions, he's proven he can. It's just so hard not to go with Naito. I have Naito getting 12 points, losing here some matches. Just, I don't see them doing the, because I think Block B is when we're going to get the 16 and the 14 and all that. So I don't know that they do both of them that way. Like you said, you got so many guys that they always get a certain amount of wins, and it's just hard for me to go, like, okay, Nagata's going to get 2, but, like, you know, Makabe is going to get his 8 somewhere. You know, Goto's going to get his 8 somewhere. It's just, it's so hard to try to pick this. Like, I know Yoshihashi didn't push, but I feel like he winds up with, like, 6 again.
See, I pushed Yoshi a little harder. I have Yoshi with 10. Because, one, I feel like it's kind of time to at least have him have somewhat of a coming out party, especially if you're going to have him to start challenging for singles championships down the road. I think this would be a great, great time to really showcase him. And people want to cheer for him. They love this guy over there in Japan. a whole bunch. So I have him finishing pretty well. Goto, I have finishing a little bit under. I have him at 6. He'll get the win over Tanahashi, though, to secure an Intercontinental title match for sure, though, and a couple other choice wins here or there. But I don't, after last year, I don't know if they're going to want to play the hand of him being another big surprise coming out. And then Block A, after Ibushi and Naito, for me, it's a tie between Fale, Ishii, and Hashi at 10. I have Sabre getting the usual first-timer 8, and then sort of the rest of the field after that. Makabe's also got 8 in mine. So for me, the way I have it booked is it comes down to Ibushi and Naito at the end and people looking to play spoiler. Ibushi manages to overcome Goto to tie Naito at least, and then Naito manages to overcome Tanahashi to get the win back from losing the championship to him. So that's how I have it going down. I have a Block A that Gary's drooling over, essentially. Because Naito, for me, only loses night one, and after that, he's spotless the rest of the tournament.
I can totally see that. I can see that happening, for sure. I mean, it's Naito is a guy that's heavily loved right now. I think having him have a dominant performance against everybody could totally be in the plans. You know, now you're making me rethink my Sabre Jr. being there at 10. I might have to have him change it and lose to somebody else. But, like, you know, it's just...
Like I said, I'm not at all confident about how I pick Block A. For me, like, Ghetto usually likes to keep these things pretty tight. And I don't think since he started having the book, anybody's really finished with the 16, 14 range. It's always been 12s, right. And you have some ties. And, well, I don't pick draws when I do these either. Just because it seems like a silly thing to try to bet on a draw when you're trying to win a competition in a prediction contest that Voices of Wrestling does. But it's like, how do you predict a 30-minute draw? You don't. They just happen, and you take the blow, and you move on.
Yeah, it's much more... These are difficult, right? It's difficult to see this... To sit there and go, okay, well, I mean, because I remember the first year, I think I had a bunch of people, like, never losing and all that. It's like, oh, wow. Had to learn really quick that everybody, you have to make it compelling, right? You have to have so many people in there, because if you don't, then when their matches are on, even if they're great, you're kind of like, oh, but this is not going to matter when you get to the end. So it's like, well... You got to have them lose times when you think the other guy that's been around longer is going to win, or the veteran has to lose because, you know, the young guy needs to get some points. But yeah, I think a lot of people are going to have Naito winning. I think, you know, you're going to have the people that love Ibushi and want to see him win. I think he's certainly going to get lots of wins on these prediction things. And, you know, I think an outside shot to Ishii as well. I think he's probably the other one. Everybody else, especially with Goto having that miracle run last year, I think it's those three, and that's sort of it for Block A. You think there could be any other surprises?
I know there are a lot of people stateside and overseas, not in Japan, that think Zack Sabre is going to be a dark horse in this, and you know, it very well could be. I think New Japan knows what they have with him. I think they want to do something with him. I don't think getting to the finale here in the G1 is where they want to do that, though. Especially because first time in tournaments, as we often say when it comes to this, they want you to sort of pay dues, take your licks, and, you know, if you do well, 8 points is considered doing that. Not to throw a monkey wrench into people's dreams here of Zack Sabre Jr. possibly being in the finale come August, but I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I don't see that, and I don't think they want, as much as people love Omega, I think they don't want a Gaijin final either. That'd be difficult. Technically, you have two heels also in the final, which I don't see that happening either. It's just... With Block B, let's move on to that. You have, like you said, so many guys that again, are in that sort of, okay, you know, Kojima's a veteran, he's been around, but he always does decent, you know, and you know he's going to have a good tournament just from a work rate standpoint. Then you have the two LIJ guys that they've pushed a lot in these main events. It doesn't mean that they're going to get a lot of points because, you know, you've got the two mega stars here in this contest. And, you know, we have seen that if there is one title where losing matters, it's the heavyweight championship. Most of the time, you beat him, you get a title shot in the run-up. And so, you know, you can't have Okada lose a bunch. So that hurts some of the point totals there. I think it just depends on how you feel about this. Like, for me, I think that, you know, Minoru Suzuki has done so well, and he's a veteran that they can – he gives you legit – every time he gets in the ring, it's a legit thing. Like, you know, don't play around. He doesn't play around. He can beat anybody, and it's very hard to see people beat him. You know, he's booked very strongly. I feel like this winds up being a triple race for me. Like, I think Suzuki is there at the end, and obviously Okada, and then Omega gets that big win on Okada finally, and that puts him over the top. I think Suzuki beats Omega on that first night, which kind of sets things in motion, and that being sort of his only loss. And then, Omega, you know, Yano is there at the end, and they have a lot of history, Yano and Suzuki. And Yano's there to do the Yano special to knock Suzuki out of the tournament there. And, of course, Omega will get the win. I think it's just, for me, it's so hard to see, like, it not being Omega being there in the final. You think it could be anybody else?
No, I have Omega in the final. The only other person I would see making it there is if they do Block A differently, and maybe you have Okada come out of this. But for me, it's at the top of the ladder, it's a two-legged race between Okada and Omega. Because for me, I have them going into the last night tied at 12, winner gets into the final. I think that's pretty much how everybody out there is seeing this go, for sure. And then after that, it's just all about trying to make an impression. And for me, I have Block B super tight. I think I have four people here at 8. I have a 2 12s, a 10, and then a 6 and a 4. So I mean, that's all pretty tight in the grand scheme of things. And you know, it's just because there's so many people here who New Japan really likes, especially. And for me, Sonata is somebody who they seem on the verge of wanting to push him to be something more. And LIJ, of course, is super popular. Everybody in that stable is beloved. And Sonata is a great worker, too. I have him finishing with 12. I have him being the one, instead of your Suzuki, I have him being the one that really comes out to impress. And I think I have him beating either Okada or Omega one night, and I can't remember which one, so I'm going to scroll through my prediction sheet here.
I have Sonata being one of the only guys that beats, other than Omega, to beat Okada, because it's so hard for me to see any of these guys. I mean, obviously, you know, like, Michael Elgin has enough of a cachet where he could win, he could beat Okada and get a title shot. You could do, like, you know, Juice has gotten a chance at every other title. Like, why not, right?
Right.
But it's just so hard to see a lot of these guys be the ones that challenge Okada. So, like, Sonata was the only one, other than Omega, for me, that I thought could legit beat him. They have a little history there, too. And it would show the a little bit of a rise for Sonata, you know?
Yeah, I have Sonata beating Okada on the 25th, excuse me. And then, you know, they have to lose somewhere else along the way, too. I think just to keep it fresh and to make sure that other people still look like they're strong in competition here. So I have Elgin beating Omega whenever they main event on some night, too. I have Elgin at 10, just because I don't know if they want him in the finale, even though I think he's had such a great year for New Japan so far. He's had a great year in general, I think, no matter where you look. Maybe outside of WrestleMania weekend where he wasn't nearly as strong, but if you've been following his promotion, Glory Pro, phenomenal matches there. His work in PWG, absolutely phenomenal. And of course, his New Japan work is just standout stuff. So, and then like everybody else here is people that either always do well, like Yano, who of course is going to get those upsets. I have him Yanoing Suzuki right out in the finale too. Tama Tonga, somebody who I really like. I think he gets 8 points. And then of course Minoru has to get. He can't look too bad. So I have him at 8, taking some choice losses along the way for maybe some open weight title matches down the road.
Yeah, I don't know. I had Tonga kind of doing the worst here, mm-hmm. just because, again, he's, you know, he's a tag team guy. I don't know that they really have. I mean, they had him do okay last time, but it's just, I don't know that they've really just ever shown too much faith in him. You know, instead of like a Juice where I could see him doing well because they really like him. It's, you know, they wouldn't have him challenging for titles if that wasn't the case. You know, and Evil's kind of that wild card of, you know, is he kind of just going to do middling, or, you know, they have a main events, but I don't, he doesn't feel like the same kind of star that, you know, Sonata does, so. You know, he could easily wind up with like a 6 or 8. Mm-hmm. I have him with 6, along with Kojima. And I have Juice and Elgin with 8 and Sonata with 8, just because I have the triple going forward there. I think Yano winds up with a lot of points again, just because I have him with 10. I probably should have fixed that, but I already submitted the pick'em, so I can't change anything. But
mm-hmm.
I just had Yanoing a lot of people, and then doing it to Suzuki the ultimate way just to knock him out. So,
mm-hmm.
And I think that last night is going to be very important. I don't know that it means anything, but I think it means a lot from the perspective of, you know, we've heard about New Japan maybe isn't too happy about Elgin having that promotion in the United States and like kind of having his own thing. So they don't have a lot of, I mean, they had they had him lose Omega. A lot of people thought, oh, well, this might be the title for Elgin. He's obviously, I think, done a lot more than say an Ospreay that they've had for this contract frame. You know, he's held the IC title, everything else, but I wonder if, you know, if Juice beats Elgin, does it say that they have more faith in Juice there at the end than Elgin? I have Juice winning, beating Elgin on that final night just to get him the 8 there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, I might be reading too much into it, but I wonder if it does just to.
So I have Juice at 6. I see him getting some wins. I have Kojima at 4, who I think is going to play the vet and have some strong matches against people, but I don't know if they're really going to let him win all that much just because there's so many other younger guys here or older guys who they always let do well. And Kojima is just, you know, in a tag pretty much right now is where he's at. So for me, it would seem very silly for New Japan to be upset that somebody they've put some stock in, like Elgin, who now has a platform to promote in the USA where they have plans for. Like, it's one, it's another way for you to have people tour over there in the US whenever you send people out on excursions. If you ever do give Elgin the IWGP US title or somebody like that, you can have him defend there. It's an easy, easy way. And Glory Pro is 4 shows in. They've already sold out. I think they've sold out every show or come close to. Mm-hmm. I know they sold out their most recent one, which is 600 people. Like, I mean, that's really good. So, and they just have Mar Fuji in there. Like, there's, I think the possibilities for Elgin as far as the relationship with New Japan goes and where they want to go in the U.S. are just endless right now. It's further, he's not too far away from Los Angeles, but he's still, of course, in that, the the East, or I guess wherever you want to say Chicago is, it's the East for me, but a lot of people like to put it in that sort of Midwest area too. So, like, further inroads, like, you could have a great platform there with him. So I think burning that bridge or getting upset that he's promoting is just, it's just silly.
Well, I mean, Elgin, you know, the thing is too, it may just be, all right, well, he's somebody that can do something in the United States. He can, like you said, hold that U.S. title down.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe we don't have to have him. And he's gotten to a point, right, where I think the people are going to cheer for him because of what he does, especially in Japan,
mm-hmm.
No matter what happens, I think, at this point. Like, he doesn't have to be – he can get those eight, you know, 6, 8, 10 points – not be relevant to the end, and he comes out fine because he's Michael Hogan. He's gotten himself over in those last few years, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, to say, definitely on the outside looking in as far as winners go, for sure, if that's what we're talking about. If we're just talking about his relationship with New Japan, for me, I would think it's just be as strong as ever going forward and all that. I'm a big fan, and that does play a part whenever I'm predicting too, for a lot of these guys. So I have him just finishing higher, just mostly because I do like him. But two, just, you know, why not cultivate that relationship and at least have him look impressive here going forward, especially when you need contenders. If you're going to have so many singles titles, these guys looking as good as possible at every occasion is going to be something you're going to want to hang your hat on at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I think it just depends, right? They are in a need at this point, and with Omega getting a big push,
mm-hmm.
they're sort of in a need for Japanese stars in that
yes.
heavyweight position. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, and you got Minoru there, but he is on the way older side
yes.
at this point. How much longer can he go? Kojima's past the point of being the star guy. So, mm-hmm. you know, Tanahashi's, you know, he's in his twilight years. Like, mm-hmm. you have, I mean, Goto, you've done what you're going to do with him. Ishii's older. I think if he can wrestle like 2 or 3 more years, you could do something with that. But, and again, Ibushi being a wild card, like, Sonata is the guy I think that you need to sort of start thinking about building something around.
Right.
I think Evil to a certain extent, too. But Sonata's got that look, right? he can bring the women in the building. He can bring the younger guys in the younger crowd in the building because of how he looks and the LIJ connection. Like, he's got everything I think you want in a guy that, He's native. You signed him away from other promotions. He's now done great for you here. He's wonderful in the ring. I mean, I don't know much more that he's got to bring to be able to get that next level. But hopefully, this is his breakout party.
I agree with you entirely, and he's got the pedigree too. He's trained by Ketchy Muto, the great Muta, who used to work for New Japan for a long time, was a big star for them, and practically legendary now, despite what he's doing right now in his own promotion and just, you know, still wrestling way past his prime for sure. But Sonata, I agree with you entirely. They've earmarked him, I think, from the start as being a future star for them. Putting him in LIJ, I think making him look as strong as possible whenever you can. And sort of, I mean, recently they've been doing the tease, too, of people trying to pull him away from LIJ. Which could turn into a huge story. So, for sure, I think Sonata looking strong here, getting big wins, definitely going to help going forward.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, like, where do you see Evil in this? Obviously, you know, former Young Lion had his time in ROH. He mm-hmm. really didn't do a lot there. It's the other guys that are coming in, all the Japanese, you know, Yohei's and shows, at least for now, they're going to be juniors probably when they come back.
Yep.
So, you know, Hiromu comes back, he's a junior. You got the Young Lions that are the big beefy guys or whatever, mm-hmm. obviously. But if you go through, you know, New Japan lore, they still got to go do their excursion and all that first before they are pushed into the mainstream unless they have him do like Finley where he doesn't really go anywhere, but he sort of sheds the or like Juice where they shed the young lion thing while they're there, which I mm-hmm. guess they've changed that now where not everybody has to go. And like, that could happen with them needing those Japanese guys saying, okay, well, we might use Oka or Kanemura faster than we would have in the past, but I think you have guys there. You know, Evil's another Japanese guy. Do you see that sort of same thing with him or no?
So I just quickly on the Young Lions, right? A lot of the ones they do have on Excursion are juniors for sure. Sho Tanaka, who seems to have an interest in MMA. He's fighting in an MMA card up in Philly soon. Yohei has junior, I think, on him too. The only one who seems to be heavyweight coming out of this is going to be Jay White. And I would say him and Finley are probably going to be a tag team first before they ever find any sort of single stuff. That's just the feeling I got from G1 Special in the USA. And I feel like that's sort of why they're waiting on Finley.
They did have him get wins, though. So they mm-hmm. they like him and they do see things for him. But you're right. Like he could have like a middle-of-the-road sort of feeling until there's a spot for him to take there.
Right. And I don't want to say that's the same for Evil, because I do think they want to do something with it. I love the gimmick. I think a lot of people in the States really like Evil more so than the Japanese crowd at times. But for me in this tournament, I have him finishing at 8. I think he does another middle of the road performance. Not to say that that's a bad thing, because there are a lot of people he matches up with great in this side of the tournament. Him and Elgin's going to be a great match. Him and Sonata is probably going to be something really great, too, on that first night. And then I think him and Kojima match up well. And I think Evil will match up really well with Okada, so long as it's not Okada taking a night off, which does tend to happen more often than not here. Plus Evil and Suzuki. Like, that should be really, really good, too. So, for now, I think they're biding their time with Evil. Because Sonata, he doesn't have that breakout look that Sonata does, right? Evil's more the prototypical strong style build, if you ask me, short and stocky, likes to throw heavy strikes, likes the headbutts, likes to toss you around a little bit. That screams never open weight title to me personally, as the championship he's held before. I think they might have thought they pushed him a little too soon on that during the Shibata thing, but mm-hmm. I definitely think that belt's coming back around his way sooner rather than later, unless they start deciding to merge stuff because they get gun shy about having so many championships.
Yeah, you know, that's possibly, but I feel like if they didn't care, they seem to like having all these championships because they can just have a whole card full of championship matches, and you know, and that's not bad because you put a championship on a match, and the way that they book them outside of the, you know, six-man belts, mm-hmm. they are taken seriously, you know?
Right.
So it means something. If you have 20 titles but you book them all well, then that means that every time that those championships, you know, outside of the tags, the tag team title stuff, which, you know, Ghetto seems to not care about or just doesn't feel like that's what New Japan needs to be about right now, or just, well, right now they're just a lack of teams too, that they kind of just keep switching those around. But, you know, the singles ones, they book well. So,
right.
And until there doesn't seem to be a need for those championships there, it's like, what I like is that every time there's a never open weight champion, they are treated well, they have great matches. It makes you excited for whoever's supposed to be in that division. You know, mm-hmm. the U.S. title is going to be interesting. Are we going to see it on New Japan shows at all, or is it going to be only stateside? You know, we know the legacy of the IC title and how much that had to be built up eventually, but just mm-hmm. it's interesting. I agree with you on Evil, though. It's his gimmick. Like, it does scream like the U.S. would like that kind of thing. Sometimes, a lot of times, we were laughing about it with the big Reaper, you know, sickle and mm-hmm. the how many lasers come out of his fingers and all that. But I mean, obviously, he's proven that he's a a very, very good wrestler, and he puts on, very, very good matches. But yeah, he kind of fits in that style. Like, I think it's going to take time, especially with guys ahead of you that are just putting on such phenomenal stuff. That may be older than you. Maybe they need to go away or have lesser roles, like a Goto, like an Ishii, before you finally go, okay, well, we need to do something with Evil now.
Mm-hmm. And it's like Sean was saying earlier, and there are a lot of people on the older side who are still just producing, and that's great, right? And especially, I think when you look at tiers of performances where you have like the phenomenal people around like Okada and Omega and Tanahashi and Naito who can just put on 4.5-star matches seemingly at will, and even greater. And then, of course, Ishii and Goto and some other guys like that thrown into the mix, and Elgin probably in that category. And then you have people who are waiting to break through. And I think that's what most of this tournament is guys wanting to break through. Or older people trying to prove that they can still hang, and of course the perennial Okada Omega saga that's dominated New Japan this year. It's just it makes for a really exciting atmosphere as far as the tournament goes, just because you don't know how well these younger guys are going to do against the vets and guys who are still producing well into their late 30s, early 40s, which is incredible if you ask me. Like Ishii, I don't know how he's still put together right now, but the dude. Another guy, 4-star, 4.5-star matches, seemingly at will whenever he decides, all right, let's go have a great match. And then he goes out and does it. You know what I mean? it's incredible.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. This year alone, how many of these shows, I think there's only been like one show where we go, oh, that was kind of, middle of the road or whatever. But every big event has delivered something, and you're going, how can they continue to be at this pace? And they've done this for so many years, especially since Bushiroad took it over. They've really had this renaissance of just having these incredible matches every time, and they've all hit this, some of them are past their prime, but they're still doing it. And Suzuki, even with Okada and a few of the other ones still coming out there at his age and doing it. So, and he does it in his own style, though. It's just not even, he doesn't have to wrestle like the other guys, and that's what's great. You can have a guy that's older, he knows he's older, but he has such a unique style that he can also have wonderful matches with people. And it's, I think, people say, WWE has this great roster of talent, and that there's not enough room for them. Like, New Japan has to have people that are not on tours.
Yeah.
Because they have so many guys right now, and so many that are performing that you're like, well, how do you not have this guy on the show today?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. And it's such a wealth of talent. And imagine if the Noah stuff would have stuck around. How many of those guys we'd be talking about right now? Just, gosh.
I mean, could you imagine if the rumors were true and you had Kento Miyahara from All Japan in this thing? Like, what do you do then? Like, I mean,
I think you're like, oh my god, like, when is there not going to be a great match? And I think too, there's a lot of people that don't like this format that they've changed to over the last few years of sort of making it almost like the World Cup, where it takes up almost an entire month. And you have these shows that span across July and August. They like it more of the how it used to be, where it was shorter, but there was so many. There was like 8 G1 matches on one night or whatever. We've talked about this in the past, but just, do you like this style more, the way they've done it over the last few years?
I was still around when they were doing the previous format. I think the thing I miss most from the old one is having the top two from each one have their own little mini bracket. So you'd have runner up of block A versus winner of block B, and you'd have runner up of block B versus winner of block A, and then the winner of those two matches would meet in the final. I really like that a lot. this way, the way they do it now, I
think
that
one feels more like a tournament when you do that.
Right, right. And that does, I think, feel more sports-like. I think this one adds more drama, and I certainly think that's what Gato's after. And I think that's why they stretch it out for that much longer now, is to add drama, to create stories. And for me, I think I prefer this one slightly. I wish it had that one caveat still, but for me, I didn't mind the older way either. It's just I felt like it was much more grueling, because now you're counting on people to have G1 caliber matches every night in a shorter period of time. This way, I think, is better for the wrestlers health-wise, and I think it's better from an entertainment standpoint, too. Like I said, you can build stories that are easier to follow. You don't have to worry about, well, I missed this day, and now I have a whole show to watch, and I have to watch the entire thing because, you know, there's 9 matches I have to go watch, or 8 matches, or however many they're putting on that day that, you know, all matter. And that this way, I think it's easier for wrestlers, I think it's easier for fans, and I think it's better for fans, honestly, just because, like I said, stories. And that's why I like wrestling, mostly. It's just the storytelling aspect, as well as the action, of course. But
yeah, and they do a great job of telling those stories, whether it's in that match specifically or over the tournament by itself. And that allows you to each match have their own little story, and then you can add that on to the overall story for that wrestler. And, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to Ghetto for being able to orchestrate all that, pull the strings and figure out who's going to lose where and how many points this person's going to have and how that leads into what you're trying to say for that guy. You know, I have tried to go back and watch some of the older ones, and then being used to this this format, it's almost exhausting going back and trying to watch 8 or 9 matches of, oh my god, you know that they're going to have this like 4-star or more caliber match, and you're like, oh god, I don't know if I can take this many at once.
Mm-hmm.
Without the breaking point of, at least in this one, you also have, if you want to watch them, you don't have to, but if you want to watch the tags that go along with the wrestlers that are fighting the next night, you can add a little bit of story there as well to kind of get you to watch those. But that also allows those wrestlers to take a break and not have to be killing themselves every night either.
Completely agree with you there. It's not about great performance every night. It's choosing when to have great performances. And while that can suck, especially for some of these smaller house shows, I imagine, where crowds are going expecting to see something awesome like you get on the first couple of nights, or especially near the end, and you're sort of at one of those middle shows and your main event's just like this 3.5-star thing, which is still great. Like, that's a great match. But, you know, when you come to expect 4 and above from a main event in New Japan on these things, it's got to be a little disappointing.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. I think people, like, work themselves in the shoot of thinking, every night I'm going to see this match that I can't believe I just watched. Mm-hmm. And it is cool to see like certain pairings that you don't see on a normal basis. And they actually go out and have a, you know, terrific, like 3.5-star, you know, 3.25 match or whatever. And that might be your main event for that night on a smaller show or whatever. And that's okay, because this is a grind for everybody. This is a grind for the wrestlers.
Yeah.
This is a grind for Ghetto. It's a grind for the fans watching, for the people that review each one of these things like we do, whether it's, you know, writing or speaking. And, like, just it's a almost 1-month thing that you're going, wow, you survived that. Let's go to the next thing, right? And you've got to... As much as we don't want to say, right, like, you're not going to go on a house show sometimes and have these incredible matches when you got to make sure you have the incredible match for the big show, you know, in Osaka or in another one of those big cities. You got to pace yourself, and people need to understand that there might be a night that you could actually just, if you're looking for a certain caliber, there might be a night you can skip performance-wise, just read the results, keep up that way. And that's okay, because that's 3 hours of your time that you get to have to do something else.
Right. And of course, burnout is something I think that's always on my, Sean, and Gary's mind because we do watch so much wrestling. And then when it comes tournament season for New Japan, I think that gets doubled, at least in my case, just because I do watch extracurricular stuff outside what we cover. And, oh, man, watching hours upon hours of wrestling every day, I'm sure sounds great to a lot of people, but it can really wear you down. So I'm kind of grateful that they do this. I still enjoy this. Like I said, it's just I understand where people are coming from on the other side of the fence too, though. You know, like there used to be a bit more of a sport build to it, and that's great and all too. And you know, I don't know. It just for me, this feels fresher. It feels nicer and change of paces. You know, while they're not always great, they're sometimes necessary, and I think this just works out better for all parties involved, for sure.
And from a business end too, they get to do more shows.
Exactly, so, they get to make a lot more money.
Tickets, yeah.
Which the Raintaker loves, I hear. So
right, so like obviously there are, you know, big matchups and even smaller ones that, you know, people like us that watch this throughout the year that you go, oh man, I really like to see what this guy. Mm-hmm. What are some matches that you're like really looking forward to that maybe aren't the Okada and Omega, like we know what they're going to do kind of thing? Like maybe some under the radar ones that you're excited about.
So I mean, because you know, the general consensus I think across G1 watchers, especially since they started doing this, is the first night of both blocks are can't miss usually, and the last three nights, whenever they start doing Sumo Hall, is great stuff. And some of the stuff in the middle will either lag or, you know, sort of just exist there. And that's not necessarily true. The main event on the 23rd, something I'm really looking forward to, is Ibushi and Ishii. That should be phenomenal. And then on that same night, you also have Yoshihashi taking on Zack Sabre Jr., which is a prospect for a really great match, too. Also, you have Tanahashi and Nagata. Wow, what a great show that's going to be. Which is a very old rivalry that goes way back, and I'm sure those guys will deliver something really great, too. Block B-wise, I think anything Juice is going to be in is really going to be worth watching. Just because I think he's one of the bigger unknowns about whether he's going to have a really middle-of-the-road finish, a really bad finish, or a really great finish. And just watching him work, he's getting to work with both Okada and Omega in this block, which I don't believe he's wrestled either of them singles-wise yet. So that should be some really great watching, too.
Plus he gets the rematch with Suzuki, too.
Yes, which I'm sure Suzuki's going to torture him into oblivion.
And you get the famous match that happened in the United States where Elgin was mad at the crowd because they didn't give a reaction of him and Zeus at the end. So, you know, Omega and Yano is always fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I always like that because, you know, Omega might bring out the chainsaw that night.
Yes.
for a one-night special. I think Sonata is another guy. We talked about him a lot, but I think, you know, Sonata against almost anybody is going to be really interesting. Like, Suzuki Sonata could really let you know what Sonata is going to do in this tournament really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So watch out for that match. Elgin Okada is going to be – we've seen they did this before, I think, on that first tournament that he was in. And you know he's going to do some great stuff. You know, Goto Ishii, when they face each other every time, that's always awesome. Makabe Ishii, too. One of the times where Makabe might actually, you know, be interested in a match. But,
yeah.
You know, and Ibushi, again, I think is – everybody's going to be watching Ibushi, obviously.
Of course.
But
of course.
How much he wins and then how well he does, how motivated he is. And this tournament is going to be a big deal. You know, whether it means something for the future or not, I think it's – I just want to see him be back and be in this environment and how cool it's going to be to see him again.
I mean, Ibushi has gone on record a couple times saying he wants to be the IWGP Heavyweight Champion. You can only do that in New Japan. So if you're going to stick around, then be there. You know, and maybe this is the test to see whether they do want to keep him long-term or short-term, as you were saying earlier. But for sure, if he's here to prove that he wants to be the champ, that he wants to be here. He's going to bring it every single night. Block A is so stacked. There is literally not one bad match you can have against any of those people on that side. Fale excluded. Of course, you can still have good matches with Fale. You just have to know how to work.
He could be one of those guys that has a good match with him.
I mean, their match last go around was so short, you didn't really get a feel because Fale just sort of killed him.
I think Makabe is also another one that it depends on how he's feeling that night. If you're going to just get the 3-star special or you're going to get a little bit more. But for the most part, yeah, like you said, Block A is going to be tremendous. Every time you're looking at this and you're going, wow, I don't think we're having... And how... If Yoshihashi has the fire like he had last G1, man.
Oh, boy.
Watch out.
Yeah.
Watch out for that, you know.
Him Tanahashi, him Ibushi, him Ishii, him Naito, him Saber, him anybody. Paper bag. It's going to be great.
Yeah, like Saber and Yoshihashi could be very, very... one of those under-the-radar, like, great matches because just like the Juice match... Mm-hmm. There's a lot of energy there, a lot of, oh my god, I don't want to see him get turned into a, you know, I don't want to see Saber, like, take away all his limbs and everything else. Like, please get to the ropes, all that. Like, you're going to really be into that match, so.
Just, hey, Yoshi's a really underrated technical worker, too, I think. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people know he likes to fly and throw real fast stuff, but... he's great on the mat, too, so I think you're going to get an unexpected mat classic there, for sure.
Yeah, just... And then Block B, you know you're going to get what you get. You know, Yano is what he is, right?
Exactly.
He gives everybody a break on that block. And then Block B also has the opportunity where, Tama Tonga, let's see what he brings, but almost everybody else... You know, I don't blame Okada at all if he wants to have his nights off. The dude's had one of these, like, years where you're going, how? This dude is not even 30 yet, and he's still doing this. And if he wants to take nights off in the G1, and he goes every other, you know, a show at past the G1, every other show that he's on, he delivers, it doesn't bother me. A lot of people like to say that. They like to complain when other people... besides Okada are having great matches. You know what? He has so many great matches. Let the other people shine. It's okay. You need to be talking about those other people.
The only problem I have with Okada taking nights off is it depends on who he's doing it with. And especially in a block where you have so many question marks and people looking to break out, a great match with the Rainmaker is just such an awesome platform to say, look what I can do. You know, granted, Okada is one of the best in the world, if not the best, I guess, depending on who you talk to on that day, on that month, on that year. But, like, Tama Tonga last year got... was it last year? Year before? I think it was last year. Real rough tournament at the start, much improved at the back end. And at the beginning, he faced Okada, and Okada took the night off against him. The match wasn't really worth all that too much talking about, but... I think it was somebody that he really needed to be there for, because I do think Tama Tonga has a lot, can bring a lot to the table. He's a phenomenal athlete, great wrestler. I think he has a good personality. He's just, and I don't want to say God is where he's stuck, because I don't think that's true. But and they've certainly gotten better.
If that wasn't true, he wouldn't even be in the tournament,
right?
Like they would just tell him, okay, go with your brother and sit over there.
Exactly. You know? So, I mean, for somebody who I think needs another standout performance in the G1, I kind of hope Okada doesn't do the same thing to him again this year, even though looking up and down the list, you know, he's gonna bring it with Suzuki. He's going to bring it with Omega for sure. Sonata, Elgin, I think, too. And then, you know, maybe he does take the rest of the nights off, and that could really suck for somebody like an Evil or a Tonga or, I mean, maybe a Juice to an extent, too.
Right, yeah. You got to see... I think with Juice, though, he gets so much out of you that you're like, okay, he woke me up now. I got to start doing something.
Your show, kid. Oh, wait, it's too much your show. I have to kill you now.
So on a just because I always love to just laugh at this because you know we are part of 411 and Larry is that man is I don't know how he does this and continues to. Of course, he gets paid for what he does, so that helps too. But
also helps, yeah.
but I mean, like the amount of shows this man watches and reviews is absolutely amazing. The dude even reviews TNA One Night Onlys, which I don't know why on God's green earth you're paying money for that. But you know, he goes through and does these written reviews for the shows, and so he coined the term the ghetto special where they go outside and wrestle for like 10 minutes or whatever forever.
Yep.
It seems like I wonder how many matches we're going to see this in.
If I had the time or inclination, I would go back through last year's G1 and count how many times he used ghetto special. I guarantee you it was at least 30, 40 times for sure. I would wager it's probably going to be the same again. And you see the Gato special like almost every New Japan show to this date.
Yeah.
Like, I think Naito Elgin earlier this year was just like the perfect example of it.
Just, yeah, so be prepared for many matches where they're going to tease the count out, because that's another one that they love to do. Fale is going to go and use the guardrail on you. That's another one.
Evil's chair stick.
Yeah, evil's chair thing. Okada doing the jump over the guardrail. You know, there's so many of these that you're going to go, oh my god, how many times have I seen this? But it all works out in the end. So get prepared for the grind, people, but get prepared for some great wrestling that we will, of course, be trying to keep tabs on for how many of these are going to go into the match of the year conversation, so we can sit there and go, well, how many of the matches that happened before the G1 are still going to count after this? So, that always happens. You're like, there's a pre-G1 where you think everything's all right, we're going to get, we have this many matches of the year around, and then G1 happens, you're like, oh my god, how many are we going to put on this list? So that's going to be fun. We're going to try to keep up with as much as we possibly can. I have a work schedule that's a lot more elongated than the previous years. So it depends on how tired I am when I get off. And you got to remember, again, even if you're just watching the G1 matches, which I'll tell you, as a person that the first year they did this, I tried to watch everything. You're going to get exhausted.
Yep.
If you try to watch all the tags. If you want to watch all the tags, be our guest. We're probably not going to talk about them on when we do the reviews. But they do have a little bit of story here and there because they match up the guys that are wrestling the next night in tags against each other. And that's cool. Again, it gives them a break. But do yourself a favor. You're going to get anywhere from 2 hours to 2.5 hours of just the 5 G1 matches every night. Don't kill yourself with the tags, because then you're going to be like not really caring when you get to the matches that matter. So, you know, I hate seeing that for people that are sitting there throwing out stars or grades or whatever, and they go, oh, I'm so tired by the time I got to match whatever. Well, why'd you watch all the tags?
Yeah,
so, you know, be time conscious, because that matters too. But
absolutely,
yeah. We'll of course we'll try to on the regular episodes of people that you know maybe we do put out a lot of stuff and you don't have time to listen to everything. We'll try to give like a little short recap, but we'll do specials on at least those nights. Don't know if we'll do any in between to sort of give thoughts deeper on the matches and everything. No idea if there's going to be somebody volunteer for written reviews on the site or anything. We haven't gotten to that discussion with anybody. But there's also going to be more stuff, not just New Japan. You know, the Mae Young Classic, they're taping the final set of shows as we record this tonight. So look out for stuff from Patrick Ketza about the Mae Young Classic up there. Of course, all the other wrestling podcasts that we have, check them out. I'm sure I know Running Wild will probably do some G1 stuff as well. So, yeah, just keep it tuned to us. You know, Larry on 411 is going to have you covered with the written stuff, as well as Kevin. He does a great job as well. So, you know, and let us know who you think is going to win, either in the comment section on the site or on YouTube or on 411, or just, you know, you can go on the Facebook group. And
do you ever tell us who you have winning, Sean?
I think I said Naito's going to win.
Okay.
So
I don't remember.
It's hard for me to think Omega's going to win again.
I'm right there with you. I think Omega makes it to the final. They tease that. I think Naito does win this. And I think we talked about it maybe possibly being heel versus heel technically, but both guys are loved so much. And it's hard for me to think of Omega as a heel right now, whenever he's so gung-ho about wanting to make stuff matter and wanting to have all
in America, you wouldn't have thought he was, right? All those promos he cuts, they were all face promos.
They were all face stuff, yeah. and I think a lot of his, even sometimes in Japan, it's if he's not, unless he's telling somebody to, like, you know, go to hell.
If he speaks Japanese, he gets cheered.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, and Naito is, you know, anti-hero to the core, I think, for sure. But, so I think you're going to have a very divided crowd, but you're going to get cheers for both guys nonetheless.
It's going to be sad. He's not going to have something to kick around during these shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got so used to seeing him throw the IC title somewhere.
He's not a fan of Daryl, so right. Maybe he steals Daryl and kicks him around.
Yeah, maybe. Like if Hiromu comes out there with him, he just get that cat away from me right now. So yeah, just, you know, enjoy this. We sure will. We'll try to keep you updated as much as possible.
It's like Christmas yes. In July.
Christmas in July, you know, forget those fancy parties.
Right.
Go watch the G1 for some real Christmas in July. And also, you'll get the I ate so much food, I'm tired moments of the Christmas in July watching this as well. So
absolutely.
But until we see you around next time, talking New Japan. Later, everybody.
Have a good one, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.